And what finally brought your playing career to an end?
Training. Simple as that. I couldn't face training. I loved playing, and it was just driving me up the wall. You realise you're getting old when you're struggling at training. You can cope with the game, just about. But the training sessions, I'd had enough of them. That was basically what it was. I got even lazier and was struggling to get out on a Monday and a Thursday. Mm. And it just, you know, when you're playing, as you say, 40-odd games and training twice a week, there is a bit of overload. And inevitably, for me, I've done this too long. So, yeah. But I didn't actually retire because they got a prop shortage straight after I packed up and ended up playing for a few more games anyway. But that was fine.
Yeah. 1977-8, you played 9 games.
Yeah, and basically, you don't have to go training. If they're asking you to help out in a shortage, you're going training because you choose to. And it's not quite the same thing.
So, what was your involvement in rugby from that retirement from playing in 1977-8?
Put a bit more time into the school rugby and just thought, get away from it for a while. You know, you're there so much, you're part of the furniture. But I was soon lured back anyway, because you don't say no to Gloucester coming along and saying, will you? Well, yeah, the answer's yes, of course I'll coach the side. The game was changing. I felt that was probably a good time when Bob Clues became captain, that I could offer something. He knew that he wanted the game to change slightly. He wasn't mad, but he thought it was probably best to have a clean sweep and change the coaching. So I decided to go for it then, and I think I did it for 3 or 4 years before another rest, and then back again for even longer.
Yeah. How much training did you go through for the coaching role before you came back?
Of 5 seconds. No, there wasn't any.
Really?
No, there wasn't any. I had a Loughborough PE background, so I knew basically how to teach and how to coach, but there were no coaching courses. They were just starting. They were just beginning to come in. So there was no sort of, not that I know of, I don't think there was a structure in those days that you would call a structure. Don Rutherford started to bring it in and did it very well. But no, it wasn't necessary to have, there weren't any coaching awards.
Well, it seems Don Rutherford had quite a significant impact. Indeed, initially had quite a lot of problems with the players, I think, trying to introduce coaching structure.
Oh, absolutely. He hit a brick wall at Gloucester.
Yeah.
Because they weren't used to the culture of the coach. And, yeah, he did have problems. I only hear of them because I never played at Gloucester with Don. But I can see why. That he had very set ideas on what should happen, what training should be. And Gloucester probably didn't do it. He tried to introduce it.
Yeah. He remembers quite fondly now that Terry Hobson quite often didn't keep to the planned move.
What a surprise. What a surprise. Because Terry went to Bath because of an argument with Don.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But Don, I think, Don was right that there had to be a coaching system. And it had to come in. Yeah. It had to come in. It was inevitable. It was always going to happen eventually.
When Don was the technical director at Twickenham, did he have much influence on you as coach of Gloucester?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Because Don, not only was there sort of an elite player regime, there was an elite coach regime. And he was very, very encouraging, and I was on a sort of, I suppose, a route to getting close to the top in coaching. So we were, there was a few of us who were afforded really first-class status in learning about coaching. I mean, Don and his department sent a few of us off to New Zealand for 2 or 3 weeks for no better reason than to be given a car, hotels, and get round and find out what it's all about. So we did that, and it was an eye-opener. Really was. First time I'd been to New Zealand, and I just couldn't understand, couldn't believe how they were light years ahead of us. But not just in coaching, how they were so hard, the players, tough. And I then began to realise why their national team is like they are. They're all tough. You don't get soft people in New Zealand. So that was a real eye-opener, but great, because the coaches just welcomed you in with open arms. You know, it's a bit like nothing to hide. We're not doing anything special, but they were. They were coaching, and we'd not seen it at that sort of level and intensity. So they were very helpful, the people you met.
What difficulties were there bringing that sort of methodology back to Gloucester and trying to apply it?
Actually, not difficult at all. I found Gloucester players were, yeah, easy. Easy. As long as you kept your feet on the ground and didn't get silly. Don't introduce things that won't work. Don't get beyond yourself, if you like. Yeah, you know, I see some coaches and they start off with the most complicated move that will always fail, but they've seen it work somewhere. They've seen it on the telly. Don't try that at Gloucester. In those days, just be sensible. If something is possible, they'll work on it. But if they can see through you, well, you're dead from day one, aren't you? So yeah, keep your feet on the ground. Try to improve the whole thing. Try to raise the fitness levels. I used to get them. Garth Cromwell used to come and help, and Ivor, and used to have sort of four areas of different types of skill work, so and fitness work. So they do four bits of the grid, if you like, but four corners of the pitch. Tom Oakes didn't like it, but we didn't listen to Tom. But it was trying to get handling, tackling, wrestling, you know, this sort of thing, just different, four different things, instead of running around the pitch. Just try to vary it and bring more skill into certain aspects of it when you're tired. So that worked. Gloucester players were as good as gold, because I think they saw the point of it. Yeah.
Was he related to Arthur Cromwell, who coached the team with Tommy Bagwell around either side of 1900?
I don't know. Yeah. I really don't know. He's a local referee, and he just wanted to help. Yeah. I don't think Garth would ever have considered himself a coach, but he was useful to have and helped. He was there every time. He would referee sessions, which was, I thought that was crucial. You had to have a referee, so that if you did start doing something illegal or something that would be picked upon by the ref, he could help the players with interpretation. And he was very good at that, very, very useful. I fail to see how any club can get by without a referee there. Well, they do, but I can't see why they do, when lots of referees would be more than ready.
Yeah.
Now, that's harder at Premiership level, because local referees are a different breed from the pros. But I'd be surprised if they didn't have them coming in, especially now they're all full-time referees, just to help the players, the clubs, yeah.
What are your joyful memories of being a coach?
I think when you stop playing, you're finished, and you cannot get back with the players. It's over. When you're the coach, you've still got a foot in that camp, and they accept you. That was the best bit. That I still felt, although I wasn't a player, and I certainly didn't want to go every night with the places they went to, I could if I wanted to. And I used to enjoy, I really loved it. Sort of, Mike Hamlin and I used to talk for hours about how the game should be played. Too many hours at times, too many Guinnesses, too many talks. But I used to talk for hours with Mike Hanlon, and that I enjoyed. Talk to a player who's at the centre of things, discuss the way the game goes, what are we capable of, what can we do. And Mike was a very shrewd player and thinker, and he would just give you a sort of sounding on what he thought and give you his ideas. So I used to enjoy that part of things. Yeah. And there's nothing like being part of a team when it's a team and everybody's together, and you can have some fun even when you're old. Yeah. You know, but you try that as the committee man, you can't get in. Yeah. Try that as a spectator, not a chance. Yeah. So coaching was the sort of nearly all 99% in with them, not totally, but then when of course when you finish coaching, there's no way. You only then mix with the cherry pickers and Spencer's mob.